This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm T2, and I support Gen X Grown Up through Patreon because they're super gentle to my wires and boards. I think you should too. Go to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listener, to this episode 115 of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And, of course, you know that Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
In this episode, we check out the latest developments from Daniel, Johnny, and the All Valley Karate Tournament. Review, perhaps, the nerdiest cooking accessory ever to hit the market, Mo. And yep. Rescue a 40-year-old tabletop arcade toy from a dusty grave. We're going to get into those topics and many more, but before that, it is time for some fourth listener email. And what a great email. You guys remember a few months ago we heard from JJ. He was a truck driver. He listened to us on his route on Thursdays. Recall?
Yep.
The guy who he liked to listen to all of our stuff as he was driving around.
That's it. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So JJ wrote us back. Subject line of his email this time around says, "Song that reminded me of you guys."
Uh-oh. That could be bad.
Any bets what song it might be that reminds him of us?
Trails of the Long Forgotten or something? I don't know.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah, no, it wasn't really depressing.
Let's see what he says. "It was great to hear my email read on the 100th episode. In answer to your question, I discovered you fellows on YouTube, and when I found your podcast, I listened to all of them to get current."
Cool.
Nice.
Wow.
"As for your request to honk the horn of my tractor trailer, it was interesting. When the police asked why I created such a scene, I told them it was because you guys asked for it, or my name wasn't George from Gen X Grown Up."
Well, now I've got a record. Wonderful.
"There's a warrant for your arrest coming from Dallas."
It's not the first one.
Ooh. He said the judge didn't buy it, but hey, what's a few days of being stir crazy? Gotcha. Smiley face. Anyway, "I heard this YouTube song and thought of you fellas." So he sent us a link to this video off of YouTube.
Okay.
This is, you might have heard of them. It's called the Holderness Family. Funny videos with the whole family and stuff. But I grabbed a sample. I want you to hear the song that reminded JJ of us. Here we go.
"Yeah, everybody's talking about the boomers, millennials, and Gen Z. People talk generations and they mention those three. Our kids call us boomers. Nah, that's incorrect. We have our own name. It is Generation X. Yeah, we may not use new technology very well, but
I'm gonna
Gen X auto-tune, just what we needed.
No Bitcoin, but our 401k is decent, and we hate any music that is recent.
We are Gen X.
Gen X is in the house.
Cute.
You know how we're in the house.
We are Gen X.
Because we say in the house. So we'll put a link in the show notes if you want to go watch the whole video, but it's a cute video. Yeah, they do original songs and all kinds of stuff. Honored that you thought of us when you saw the song all about Gen X, JJ. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm just hoping he's not expecting us to start going out and making songs because none of us can sing.
Oh, yeah, that'd be bad.
Well, if we had auto-tune, it might be okay, actually. You know, that can make anybody sound like they have talent.
I'm here in Tallahassee. I'll go give T-Pain a call and see if he can help us out.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got nothing else going on, right? Well, JJ wraps it up saying, "Also, thank you again for bringing a smile to this truck driver in Dallas, and hopefully the humor wasn't too strained." Nah, never, JJ, never. Thank you for writing in too, JJ. We appreciate you. We appreciate every time the fourth listener takes time to write into the show. If you'd like your email featured here, it's super easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one, and most of them, like JJ's, will ultimately make the show. All right, gents, with that good business behind us, it's time to jump into the body of episode 115 right after the break. Stick around.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
Hey, Ma, your college boy's home.
I bet you're hungry.
Hungry for your beef and gravy. What about Scruffy?
He gets his own beef gravy meal. Gravy Train.
Add warm water to the leading dry dog food, it gets wet. Gravy Train makes a real beef gravy meal.
A lot like my homemade.
Add another beef gravy fan to the family. Hey, Scruffy.
Gravy Train dog food, the beef gravy meal with homemade appeal.
It's time to kick it off talking about media then. Could be television or movies or comics or books or whatever we've been exploring between the last time we spoke and now. And Mo, I want to get started with you. You watched something that I was looking forward to a few weeks ago, but you got a chance to check it out. What are you watching?
It's Encanto, the new animated show from Disney, or animated movie from Disney, rather.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The family that has powers thanks to the house, but the one girl doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow, you've nailed it from the trailer.
That's pretty much it.
I've seen is the trailer. I've been meaning to watch it, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, and so I watched it, and I really liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked the music on it. The story did not go the way I thought a typical story like this would go, and I was kind of happy that it had its original kind of ending to it. It had a little bit of a heart tug at the end. Yeah, I thought it was a great show. I don't know. Any of you guys see it?
Well, like I was saying, I haven't seen it. I've been meaning to watch it. I've got it on Disney Plus, so I can watch it anytime, but I know I was confused with my wife. Like, I wanted to go see Ron's Gone Wrong, which is another Disney animated film that came out around this time of the year, and she wanted to go see Encanto, and so did I, and I got confused and bought tickets at AMC through our A Plus thing and then canceled them because things came up and stuff, and we never ended up seeing either film. So
okay. How about you, John?
I went and saw it in the theater, but it's been some weeks ago now. Yeah. But yeah, I checked it out, and I took my daughter with me, who you've heard on the show before. She's the one that likes to trash our horror movies, but she liked the film, but she felt that the hip hop music from Lin-Manuel Miranda didn't quite jive with the story. Like, it felt forced because there was just, he's the hot new, you know, musical talent right now, so they used him to write this stuff.
Oh yeah.
I didn't agree with that. I actually thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think you should see it in IMAX probably with better audio, because I found the audio a little muddy when I saw it in the theater, because there's so much going on, and it's fast paced. It's that very quick rap kind of hip hop. So I think watching it again with subtitles would be great, because I would get every single little reference and joke. It's amazing how far is it Disney or Pixar, or Disney Pixar, whatever it is now. Okay, yeah, it's amazing how far stuff has come. Just the realism, how close it's coming, like bordering that uncanny valley. They're cartoons, but man, it's looking realistic.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I thought that some of the themes in there, I'm like, that's pretty heavy. You know, like some of the stuff that they're going into. I was like, well, this is pretty heavy stuff. But I said, I just really liked it. I thought the story was nice. You know, I thought the power was funny. I mean, it had a lot of stuff going for it.
Yeah, there were some good themes in it, and not things you see in typical kind of kids animation fare that much. It's a little deeper, for sure.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. So how about you, John? What have you seen?
Well, I saw a film that's on Netflix right now, and it kind of hit a little too close to home, but I really enjoyed it. It's a film called Don't Look Up.
Oh my God. Yes, I saw it.
Oh, okay. You said hit a little too close to home, and I was like, uh-oh.
I know what you mean.
What hidden recordings that they find in John's house that
he didn't want anybody to know about? No, not that close. Easy. So my understanding is that this film was produced before the pandemic, or at least was started before the pandemic.
Oh, really?
It isn't like a pandemic production.
It seemed too topical.
It's so on the nose. Yeah. So the premise of the film is there's a university scientist and a doctorate candidate. They discover a comet, and they name it after the woman that discovered it. That's awesome. And they do the math. And this thing's like 5 or 10 kilometers across, and it's coming straight for Earth. We have like 6 months before it hits us.
Right.
And they are going through the premise, like they go and they get an audience at the president's Oval Office to explain the problem. And they're like, yeah, the optics on this aren't great. I think we just sit on it for now. Like, no, don't you understand? Like, we have 6 months. You need to act now. Yeah, well, the midterms are coming up. We probably shouldn't like scare people. Like, no, this is serious.
Yeah.
And the whole don't look up thing is almost like the mania around, you know, vaxxers and anti-vaxxers. It's like, don't look up. Just ignore that thing. Let's keep your head down, focused on the task. Other people are saying, no, look up. This thing is there. And it becomes like people have hats and shirts to say, don't look up.
Right.
They're having trouble convincing the people of the world that they actually have to take action on this and believe the science versus just, oh, the it's propaganda. Just something somebody made up. And yeah. There's only like a 98% chance it's going to hit us. You know, you guys are exaggerating. It's crazy scary. Like it's a comedy, but it's a dark comedy, but it's an uncomfortable dark comedy because you're like, ooh, this is exactly how it would happen now that we know how people behave in an environment like this.
The part that I thought was really scary, all of it, is the guy's like, so is it 100% going to hit the earth? And the guy's like, okay, I can never say 100%. I'm a scientist. You never, oh, so there's a chance it won't hit the earth. He's like,
right.
But it's like, saying there's a chance.
Right.
Actually, Neil deGrasse Tyson said this should be more of a, what do you say? It was more of a documentary.
Yeah, wow. Maybe. Well, it's certainly a documentary on the human condition.
Yeah.
You know, I think especially over this last couple of years, how there's so much news and bad news and crazy stuff happening that people like to pretend it's not happening to get on with their lives. And that's kind of what they're doing, even though it's an imminent threat.
Right.
I'm confused by another aspect of this film.
Okay.
So I saw the trailer for this film in the theaters when I was going for my December A-plus list screenings. And I think we watched like six or seven films during December. I just kept going back and back. I'm like, listen, I'm getting my $30 worth of A-plus, whatever my fee is. And I saw the trailer for this multiple times on multiple different films. And even one of the films that we saw with the family, everybody saw it and, well, that looks funny. That might be interesting. Kind of a dark comedy thing. And then I saw you talking about it on our Discord server that you had watched it on a flight on the way back home. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I didn't even realize it was in the theaters yet. And then I log into Netflix the other day and pops up on my banner, Don't Look Up, you know, number one movie, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is a Netflix movie? I saw trailers for it in the theater. So I guess I was confused. I was sure this was going to be a theatrical release, but is it only a Netflix film?
I think it's only Netflix.
Well, now here's the thing. Keep in mind, there's another similar film coming out called Moonfall.
Oh.
It's definitely Don't Look Up, You Saw. Okay, different thing. Okay.
Yeah, Moonfall is the one where it's a serious, they take everything serious, not Got there's it. No comedy yes. to
okay.
it.
All right,
and
so it's not
the
mistaken.
Moon has aliens pushing the moon toward us.
It's a giant spaceship or some ridiculousness like that.
So it wasn't just you saw a different trailer. You definitely saw this one. Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder if Netflix was like, we bought it and decided not to put it in the theaters. I wonder if Netflix is actually running trailers for their stuff in the theaters now.
Yeah,
that's why I'm asking, because I've seen that done once or twice before, but at the end, they always have the big red Netflix logo, you know, the red background with the white letters.
Or coming on Hulu this season.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't remember seeing that on this trailer in the theaters. Now, I know that in this day and age, we have a lot of multi-release movies where they release in the theater and on some streaming platform very close together. I just didn't realize this might be one of them, but I haven't seen it come in theater.
But I didn't see this one in theater at all. Yeah. No, like you said, absolutely not.
It also maybe could be one of those movies that's supposed to be in the theater and Netflix bought it because pandemic, it didn't get released. Maybe.
I mean,
maybe. But the trailer was just running last month, you said.
Yeah. Like,
they would have known.
No, yeah, that's true. Weird. That's true. Yeah.
Well, but hey, as for the movie itself, it will make you a little uncomfortable, especially depending on where you fall politically. I think regardless of where you fall politically, probably it'll make you uncomfortable to have a mirror held up to you and go, oh my goodness, that is how people are acting. But it is funny. There are some great things in it. It's a dark comedy, but it is a comedy. Probably doesn't end the way you expect it to end either, but you know, there's that. So it has an after credit sequence that is by far well worth your time. So if you stream fast forward to it, you have to see the after credit sequence.
Sure.
So that's my pick. I think we're done with media. I don't think anybody had anything they were looking forward to at the end of the year.
Unless,
of course,
nothing good shows, right?
Maybe there was something you were going to see, George.
There might have been something that I was interested in. Yes, Cobra Kai season 4, jerk. Of course. Talked about it for several podcasts now. I'm going to be looking forward to it on the next podcast just because I want to rewatch it again. Cobra Kai season 4 has released. I watched every single episode in the same day it was released with my son. We had a great time with the whole season. It does exactly what you expect Cobra Kai to do. It starts right from the last episode of the previous season. Mm-hmm. And we all knew that Terry Silver's character was coming back in this season. He was going to be a major component of the storyline. And holy crap, is he.
That's the guy from Karate Kid 3. Is that right?
From Karate Kid 3. Yeah. That's where most of this season storyline comes from.
Like, is the guy who pretends to be his friend and all that stuff. Is that right?
Yes. That's the guy who pretended to be Daniel's friend in Karate Kid 3. Mm-hmm. So with this whole thing coming mostly from Karate Kid 3. There's some other stuff that also comes from Karate Kid 2 as well. But Daniel and Johnny end up forming an alliance during this season against Kreese and Terry Silver, which is very similar in origin to the Karate Kid 3 movie, where you had Daniel and Mr. Miyagi at the end of that film kind of being in the alliance against Terry Silver and Kreese. And also, you guys may or may not remember the character from that movie that was the bad Karate Kid, Mike Barnes. I kept expecting Mike Barnes to make an appearance in the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did not. The way this season ended, I kind of expect he might make an appearance next season, because are new alliances forming around. Everything is changing. The kids are all switching, you know, who their loyalty belongs to. Stuff happens in the tournament this year that completely throws all of their relationships up in the air. You see people who you are sure going to hate each other forever hugging in the end, and you see people who are you sure going to love each other hating each other in the end. It's just full of teenage Degrassi High soap opera the whole season long.
Which is exactly what you want in Cobra Kai, right?
Hell yeah, that's what I want in Cobra Kai. I want Eagle Fang Claw, and I want Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai. I want everything. I mean, it was awesome. I think that the one sad thing that I'll get from the season, it looks like they need to wind this up in about another season or two at the most. They're kind of running out of steam.
Yeah.
Little in the way that Stranger Things kind of is as well. You know, it's kind of running its course of what you can do with these characters. I don't need this to run for 10 seasons. I'm happy with like 5 or maybe 6 seasons of 10 episodes. I hope that everybody else is out there has been watching this series. So, John, I know you've watched it in the past. What do you think of season 4 so far, if you've watched it? I know your daughter was holding you hostage a little bit.
Yeah, I'm still hostage. So I'm still not complete with season 3. So I can't get into 4. Nothing you've said spoils you, because everything you've said, I've divined from trailers and from the poster. Like, you can see in the poster how there's a guys on a red side and a blue side in the poster. You're like, oh, these guys are getting together. And so I think none of that is really spoilery territory, but your excitement, enthusiasm about it. Like, I knew it was coming out the 31st, and I was like, maybe if we have time on my vacation, like, we'll binge the third season. We didn't get around to it, but knowing how good it continues to be, I didn't think Cobra Kai was going to be a continuing series.
Yeah, it was just the one time.
When I saw it was first coming out, it was exciting, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a flash in the pan. It's going to be a great, you know, dose of nostalgia, and then people get tired of it. But it blew up so hard. And then remember, like, it was out on YouTube, and I think Netflix picked it up.
Yeah, it was YouTube Premium, and then it got
blew
picked up in
second season. Doubly, because people were like, have you seen this new Cobra Kai? Like, I watched that on YouTube like 6 months ago, dummy. But I think it got a double dose for that first season, so lots of people loved it. I'm glad that they're getting to do as much as they are with it. And I just think it's awesome.
Mo, how about you?
I have not seen it yet, because I know I'm going to want to binge it. So I'm just waiting until I have enough time. I'm like, okay, I could devote X number of hours.
It's not a tough binge. It's 10 episodes, about 30 minutes a piece. So it's like 5 hours. It's really, if you have a day off or a weekend.
Oh, they're short episodes. Okay.
It's easy to binge through. Like, my son and I, we were sitting there in the living room on the new TV that I'm going to talk about in the next segment. And we were just like, okay, that's an episode. Oh, that ended quickly. You want to watch the next one? Of course we want to watch the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a potato chip. Damn, that saltiness went away. I need another potato chip now. And that's what this was for us that day, December 31st, just sitting there watching it before New Year's Eve. I still, to this day, get compliments on my Cobra Kai t-shirt whenever I go out in public. People are like, oh, Cobra Kai.
People love
it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that it comes from our Gen X youth, you know, with the whole Karate Kid series.
Oh, I mean, big time.
I'm begging and hoping, and I can't imagine why, that they won't need to go over Karate Kid 4, the next Karate Kid in this series. They won't need to bring that storyline in, because there's no Daniel in that.
Yeah.
But they did some nice homages again to Pat Morita, who played Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
They did some some scenes in the cemetery and at the house, and just a lot of fun stuff. They brought in a couple of extraneous storylines that I thought were, maybe we don't need these. Like, why do we need this C or D storyline? We've got plenty already to talk about this season. The one other thing that my son and I commented on that I have to talk about here is, the kids doing the fight scenes. Mm-hmm. It's awful. It's terrible.
Really?
These fight scenes get worse and worse every season. There's only one or two of the kids that are real athletes. The rest of them are all camera athletes, meaning that if you put the camera at a certain angle and you slow the recording down so that you can speed it up on playback, it looks a little bit better, maybe. It's, yeah. I know it's an integral part of Karate Kid, but they that's the one drawback to the series so far. It's laughable in most cases.
But it didn't ruin the show, right?
No, because the show's not about the karate. The show's about the storylines and about the characters and the relationships. It's
about loyalty and divisions and family and friends, that kind of thing.
Like I said, it's wrestling. It's Degrassi High. It's a soap opera. Yeah, it's whatever you want to think of in that term. But it's not about the fighting. It never was, even in the first movie. Like, you look at some of the fight scenes in the first movie. Some of them are okay. Some of them are trash.
Well, the whole films are about personal growth and, you know, loyalty and family and that stuff. Sure. I'm really glad to hear that it lived up to your anticipation and your expectation. And it's just making me more and more likely to go back and resume, pick it up with three and finish it and tear on through. And you're right. At, you know, 8 or 9 episodes at 30 minutes a piece, that's like watching a couple of movies. That's not that big of a commitment when you think about it.
That's a bit
sweet.
Very cool.
All right. We get back. We're getting into some tech toys. Stick around.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com. Where you go, switch to sweet and blue. Sweater and trim. Switch to sweet and blue. The light of your skin. Switch to sweet and blue. And people who know have made the switch to sweet and blue. Put less sugar in your life.
I switched from sugar to sweet and low because I care.
I'm excited, guys, because I have an awesome tech toy to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So I'm going to lead off with this. Remember we did our Christmas gift ideas for different ranges?
Oh, the geek gift guide list.
Yes, our geek gift guide.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I had one that my girlfriend and a few other people laughed at, apparently.
Which one was that?
But it was the meter. Oh. The Bluetooth meat thermometer.
The Bluetooth thermometer.
The meter.
I needed that for this past holiday break. I did a whole standing prime rib roast. I needed that meter.
Let me tell you something, dude. I got one for Christmas.
Nice.
And we used it, and it is freaking amazing.
Okay. All right. All right. So back up. Explain what this thing is, and then I have to hear how it works.
Okay. So you know traditional meat thermometer, right? You know, you stick it in the meat, and it has like a little temperature thing, that like a wire that comes out your stove that you kind of stick a little temperature gauge. You can see, with, you know, it suits an alarm when it hits the right temperature, that kind of stuff. This one, it's all Bluetooth, so there's no wires. You put it in the meat and actually use it on Christmas for a roast, and you have an app on your phone. You tell the app what temperature you want it to get to. Mm-hmm. It tells you the temperature, the ambient temperature of the oven, the temperature of the thing that's cooking, and how long it thinks it's going to take for it to hit the temperature that you programmed into it.
It gives you estimates based on what it is?
It gives you an estimate on how long, based on how much the temperature is rising. Then when it gets close to the temperature, it gives you a warning. Hey, it's almost ready. And then when it's ready, you get a big alert on your phone.
Man, I definitely could have used that.
It is damn cool.
I did a standing rib roast. It's prime rib is what you go when you go to the restaurant and you order prime rib. That's what I did. I did a whole roast of that. And one of the most difficult types of meat to cook and get right is a prime rib roast. And then on top of that, you need to pull it out at a specific temperature. Then you have to tint it with aluminum foil while it rests so the juices absorb back into the meat and it continues to cook there. So it's very difficult to take it out at the right time, at the right temperature, and let it sit and rest for, you know, 20 or 30 minutes while the juices are all absorbing back in, so that when you cut through it, it doesn't bleed all over the place.
Right.
If you've ever taken something out of an oven or a pan and cut it too quickly, you know, just all the juices leave whatever the thing is. This meat thermometer giving you estimates and all the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It was. And the app is very cool. My family kind of laughed a little bit when I got it. But when we used it, though, everyone was impressed. Everyone said, wow, that's really cool. I should probably say, like, the guys were impressed for sure. But I thought it was awesome.
Would you describe, because I can't picture what it is. What is the thing that is the component? Does it have a battery in it? Does it have Bluetooth sensors in it? How does it stand up to the heat? What is it?
Yeah, it's a probe, you know, like you stick in the meat, like the big spike you stick in there, right? The metal thing.
Like a big nail kind of thing?
Okay. It has a holder that charges it. So the batteries are in the case, but when you take it out, it has its own internal batteries. So you don't have to keep it charged. And you just stick it in the oven and you just leave it.
And it survives. The Bluetooth technology and the battery and everything survives being in the oven at hundreds of degrees.
Hundreds of degrees, not a problem.
That's the most amazing part to me. I don't know.
That's pretty damn cool.
The thing that amazes me is that it didn't freaking melt. Like if I put my phone in the oven, done.
I was pretty impressed.
I think for me, it's not just that. I mean, we have I have these big oven gloves, the things mm-hmm. that they have like plastic on the outside of them, and they feel just like regular gloves that you would get when you were a kid. But then you grab a 450 degree pan and you don't even feel it. The mm-hmm. melting technology or the prevention of the melting, that doesn't mm-hmm. impress me as much. What impresses me is that you can have this probe and it not only gives you the internal temperature of the meat, but the ambient temperature of the oven, that's the biggest pain in the butt when you're using your oven is making sure of what, because that temperature gauge that's on your oven.
Good luck. Yeah.
Yeah. That's never fucking accurate. Every time I put it on like 450 or 350 or whatever, you open the door for 2 seconds and then all of a sudden your oven's down to 225. You're like, damn it. That's not much hotter than it is in Florida. So
I'm impressed
that this sensor can tell you that information. Do you not put the probe all the way into the meat mode?
No, part of it sticks out.
That's what I was curious
about. So it must
have
two sensors, one for the internal, one for the external. Yeah. Yeah. It's like indoor-outdoor thermometer.
It's got to have at least 2 points on that probe, on the length of that probe that are able to sense temperature. That's really cool.
And the holder that you put it in to recharge, it's made out of wood, so it looks really nice.
Oh.
The name is cheesy, but I don't care. It was awesome.
Remind us what it cost. I know you got it for a gift.
I got it for a gift. So they actually have a whole bunch of different ones at different ranges. Like some have further range, that kind of stuff. The one I got is the one that has, it's the meter plus. So it has 165 feet, which I'm never that far, but that's okay. And it costs $100. It's $99 for this thing.
I need like four of them.
do they have three packs, four packs for George?
Actually, they actually have. You can buy multiples, and the one app can monitor them separately.
I knew that they had that system because when we do our prime rib roast, I have to do two different rib roasts because my wife likes it well done, and me and my mother like ours medium rare. So
yeah.
Mo's enabling you. Well, you know, single app, George, just go for it.
Yeah. Right. And you got four different probes on there, and man, you'd be set. So actually, I'm very excited. I was very happy with that gift.
I'm going to pay more than I would for an oven for this damn meat thermometer.
Well, you get a discount when you buy in bulk, I guess.
But think how good the roast is going to be.
All right. Well, that's what I had. So how about you, John? What you got for us today?
Yeah. So I went on vacation. I talked about it last time. I was looking forward to going on a vacation. The flights did not get canceled. We were able to go. My daughter and I did this daddy-daughter vacation, and we picked different cities around the country. We went to Cincinnati, and most people go, why did you go to Cincinnati? Like, what's there? Well, we make our own fun, right? So get to different places and stores and aquariums and stuff. We just like being somewhere different and seeing the nation. Mm-hmm. So I took advantage while I was in Cincinnati to visit a store that we do not have in Florida that I've always been jealous of other people in Georgia and Texas. So many of our friends and followers that we talk to on Discord, they talk about how cool Micro Center is.
Oh, son of a...
I've never been to one. Wanted to. It sounded
now
great.
Now you got to go and I still... Damn it.
So let me just tell you, you will feel as bad for you as I feel for me that I can't go back tomorrow. It's like an old school Radio Shack meets a Circuit City, meets a CompUSA, meets a Sam's Club.
Yeah. From everything I've seen of these things, they look just like Fry's Electronics that I used to go to in California.
Oh, I remember Fry's.
Yeah. It's all the stuff you liked about all those stores rolled into one. And I don't want to bore my daughter too much, but I was there for like 45 minutes walking up and down the aisles. And it's not like you go to a store and like, oh, do you sell keyboards? We have keyboards. Here are three choices, maybe four. Two of them are out for you to touch. Great. Micro Center, you want a keyboard? Here's the keyboard aisle. 80 foot of keyboards and mice. All of them are out for you to put your hands on and feel the switches and move the mice. And, oh, try this weird one that looks like a shark fin. You know, oh, you want to see some video game stuff? Great. Well, here's the Xbox, the Switch, the PlayStation. Here is the stand-up Atari cabinet. You can buy T-molding for your cabinet. You can buy push buttons in big bins. I'm not talking like, oh, we have a three of them. They have... Here's a bin of 800 orange buttons. Here's a bin of 800 blue buttons.
Damn it.
Everything is available to walk in and go, I need this little piece. It was so cool. I didn't spend a lot of time looking at everything, but you know, when you build a computer back before the days of we started buying from, you know, pre-builds, but you build your own computer and you go to Newegg and Amazon and you fill your cart and then you wait for the shipment to come in. When I was in line to check out, I was standing behind a guy. Today was the day for him. He was building his rig and he had this big push cart like he'd been to Home Depot, right? He had the case. There was a power supply. I saw the big motherboard box.
Graphics card.
The RAM. He walked in with money and walked out with every piece and cable and adapter you needed to build the entire thing. It's just up the street from him. I was just in Sharonville, Ohio, just outside of Cincinnati. And I miss that I can't go back again tomorrow. It was so cool.
That pisses me off and makes me happy at the same time. Because I could see myself walking in every day and building a new PC for a new purpose, because that's what that store would do to me. I'd probably do it every weekend, and my wife each weekend would say, what is this charge? What is this charge? Why is it? It'd be like, well, it's only $1,100, honey, this time. You know, last time it was $1,500.
I'm saving you money.
Yeah. Good Lord. Just, I know I've been by once, or like I said, I've been to Fry's, which sound very similar to your experience at the Micro Center, and I've seen pictures, and I've been to their website. They do let you order stuff and ship it, but
not the same.
Yeah,
it's not the same experience unless you can do like that gentleman in front of you did, where you walk in, push your cart up and down the aisle, handle the box, handle the product, put it in your cart. That's completely different than even what we did with Newegg and those places back in the day.
Yeah. So, John, did they have people who knew what they were talking about there?
I can't speak to that. I would like to. They were well staffed. I will say that there were lots of people there. A lot of the people look like nerds I know. Like they didn't just like schmoes off the street. But I didn't talk to anybody about technical things, so I can't speak to that. And I imagine that varies from store to store. You're probably thinking of like the Best Buy syndrome, where it's like, well, if you got khakis and a blue shirt, you're an expert on TVs all of a sudden, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how the expertise is there. I mean, someone who spends more time. That guy who had the cart in front of me, he would probably know, because he probably talked to those guys.
That's awesome. I'm jealous, though.
It's just cool to, like, where can you go these days to buy a hard drive? Okay, maybe Office Depot or somewhere.
Or Best Buy or something.
But you have two to pick from, right? Mm-hmm. Here they had a whole aisle of hard drives. Well, here's the solid state drives. Here's the physical platters. Here's the ones that are the red designed for, you know, for NAS use. Here's the ones, like, they're all lined up and you can just, oh, well, this one's $10 more. That's $20. Oh, let me look at that one. The fact that you can walk in and pick them up like groceries.
I guarantee you, too. You get better prices at that Micro Center on the different components because of the competition and the variety on the aisle. Whereas if you go to Best Buy, a damn cable might cost you 60%, 100% more than if you get it from one of the other places we would buy online. But at Micro Center, having all those different choices and all those different brands, all those brands are going to compete against each other
on
in
the
that
shelf.
Environment on the shelf. So you're going to be able to find, oh, like you said, here's the one for $80. Oh, here's one for $65. Here's one for $64.
Yeah.
That's a whole different experience.
It's like pickles. It's like they're all in the grocery store. Pick the one you want. Oh, this one's a little spicier. This one's, exactly.
Yes. One thing I'm definitely jealous is like we're talking about doing our unraids and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking at cases and I would love to walk in a store and see these cases
and feel the weight of it. Exactly. The construction. Yeah. No kidding.
Jealous.
Yeah. Because they don't always take great pictures when you look at something online, right? Mm. You can't see all the. Okay, there's just enough clearance for my screwdriver to get to this component.
Does it feel solid? You know?
You can't see that on Amazon, but you can see that when you're looking at it in person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if you are a listener and you have a Micro Center, damn you, I wish I was living where you were. I told the guy, he said, you want to join the frequent flyer club, whatever? I said, dude, I'm in Florida. Open one in Florida and I'm on board, but I'm not going to be back anytime soon. He's like, yeah, they're talking about it. I'm like, oh, are they? Tell me more. He's like, well, I don't know anymore.
They'll put it in Orlando or something.
Anyway, Micro Center, if you're there, you already know. If you don't, if you're stopping by, you're visiting, it's an awesome place if you're a dork like we are. And it was so cool. So, all right, George, how about you? You had something that that I think you picked up not too long ago for your family.
I don't really want to talk about my tech toy item anymore. I think I'm done.
Micro Center
was enough.
It ruined you.
My thing pales in comparison to that. We should have ended the segment with that one. So when I mentioned it a few episodes ago that my wife needed a new laptop, we went to Best Buy and we got her a laptop. On that same trip, as we were walking toward the front of Best Buy, being that it was during the Black Friday holiday sale time, they had a ton, just a big line of flat screen TV up front, you know, $200 here, $249 there, $329 here. And they were all very large TVs, you know, like 50, 60 inches, 70 inches, whatever. And they were all decent priced. And we were just looking at the specs on them because for a long time I've wanted a new TV in the living room because the TV we have is a Sony. We bought it in 2007. It is so old that it doesn't even have 1080p. It had 1080i.
Oh, wow.
For those who remember, there were two different standards. There were the P's and the I's back then, 720p, 720i, 1080. Yeah. And I's were always slightly lower than the P's as far as resolution and whatnot.
They're great.
It's got one HDMI port on it. It's got a whole bunch of the old ports and stuff. So it's, you know, the TV has still worked. It's Sony. You know how Sonys are. They last forever.
Oh, yeah.
And because it was working, my wife didn't want a new one because why spend the money when something's working?
Did you break it?
Well, now, of course, the bezels are super thin and they come with three or four HDMI ports and they have the crazy, incredible speakers that are behind the screens themselves on a TV now.
And all the baked-in apps and stuff that come in them now. All the baked-in apps,
yeah. Smart TVs,
Exactly. So we were like, okay, we'll just take a look. We're already spending this. It's going to be on the credit card. We can go ahead and get a TV, put it
in. Why not?
It's only $300.
It's just one more dollar.
It's only $400, whatever. Well, we kept looking at all the specs, and we were mostly concerned about the size of the TV because we have an entertainment center, not it mounted on the wall in the living room. Right. So we have a specific amount of space that we can't go past. We ended up getting a Samsung Q80A television.
Okay, Samsung's a solid, yeah.
So we went from the $300 little cheapo TVs up to this one, which was like $1,200 or something.
Wow.
So it ended up being a whole new laptop type of payment during that visit. But I'm going to tell you, it's a beautiful TV. It's made me come out of my office more and sit and watch TV with her in the living room, which she likes. And it's incredible how the technology has changed. I haven't bought a TV in, I don't know, probably 6-7 years. And that was when I got the one in my office on a Black Friday sale at Walmart, trampling other customers.
You say it's a Q80A. Is it an 80-inch TV that you got?
No,
or is that just a model?
No, that's just a model number. So Samsung has three or four different TV lines. The Q is one line. Then they have these other lines. In Best Buy, they have a television, and every now and then it'll pop up on the screen. It'll show you all the Samsung models and where they fit on the range. Like, okay, this is the model that has this ability, and this is the model that has this ability, and they're all in categories and groups. So the Q80A is a one-year-old model. It's from last year, so it's not top of the line, but it's really damn close. It does do 4K, which is very nice. It has a mode on it that when we first turned the television on, we had to go through setup. I've never gone through computerized setup on a television in my life. This was the first time. You remember back in the day, John, we would buy a new compact.
Buy a new computer, and it walks you through. This
John
is your
Delancey,
new computer.
Here's your new thing. Do this, do that.
Yep.
That's what this damn TV was doing. It was setting up all these Amazon apps and the other stuff. One of the modes that it turned on during that setup process, they call intelligent mode. Like, okay, I'll turn it on. Right. I want my TV to be intelligent. It took regular television content and it did something to the video signal. I don't know how to describe it. It sharpened it. It made it look as though everybody was on the craziest green screen set of all time.
I know what you're talking about.
The first thing we watched was a Star Trek Discovery episode. And it was weird. I was like, did they film Discovery separate this year? Because it looks like they're all on. I don't watch much with it. You're right, John. I turned it off. Every now and then, though, like a sporting event, turning that intelligent mode on. Oh, boy. It's nice. Like, it looks like you can literally stand inside the huddle with the players on the football field. It's crazy crisp and clean. You can see the pores in their face. It's It's awesome.
Well, how big a TV did you get? Did you say that?
I think this one is 60 inches.
Okay.
I think
that's a good size. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
It's very close. I do know that when we bought it, we brought it home. My older sons helped me put the base on it and get it put into the little entertainment center space. And immediately my wife said, we need to go back and get another one. This one doesn't fill up all the space. And I'm like, it's been 20 years. I've been trying to get you to buy a new TV. Now you want to go buy one an hour later.
You jump on that? Get a 65-inch TV?
Let's do it, honey. Right away.
So
if you insist,
we definitely have a little bit more room that we could have fit in there. This television, though, it's great. She watches on it all. That's her main TV. She watches in the living room. I know that people sometimes bag on these phone companies making other electronics, but I'm going to tell you, for my money right now, Samsung knocked this out of the park.
You just answered the follow-up question that I was going to have for you, which was my 82-inch Super TV is getting a little long in the tooth. It's got a stuck pixel. It's got some dark areas. I'm in the market. And ever since you bought a Samsung, I started shopping. So I was going to say, now that you've had it, would you buy another Samsung television? And I think the answer...
The answer is probably yes. I'm going to reserve the right to change the answer, though, because I don't judge a TV until I've had it for at least 2 years.
Over time. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I can wait 2 years.
Well, they shouldn't be throwaway electronics for how much they are. It's the same thing with a laptop. Like, my wife loves her laptop right now. I won't pass judgment on that laptop, though, until she's had it for a couple of years. And I start to see if there are complaints about, is this too sluggish or the screen's too small or whatever.
Gotcha.
When it comes to anything over a certain price, usually $500 to $1,000, anything over that price range, it needs time to bake.
All right, but good experience so far. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Actually, I mean, I have a Samsung TV and I've had it for 4 or 5 years and it's working like a champ. I mean,
yeah, okay.
I have no complaints about it at all.
All right, well, that's going to help my purchasing decision, I think. I'm probably within a few months of getting a new one, and I'm going to keep my finger on the pulse of how this Samsung treats you, and I think it's probably going to influence my decision.
Yeah, there are cheaper ones out there that you can look at, and I know Samsung has kind of taken over as an electronics giant, but just like with that Sony TV that we had, I mean, that thing lasted 14 years before we replaced it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't become an electronics giant for no reason. It's because they're doing something right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. All right. Well, good luck to you and hopefully to me. So
this episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
5 years ago, my only exercise was running around after Davey. Now, Davey's running to keep up with me. Boy, has my life changed for the better.
5 years ago, I read the letters to the editor. Now I write them. That's some change.
And 5 years ago, I used a box of this, a bottle of that, or a sheet of something else to get laundry clean and soft. Today, I use Bold 3 Detergent Plus Fabric Softener. It cleans, softens, and controls static cling all in one box.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time!
Gentlemen, I can play games again. I don't know if I mentioned that last time, but I mentioned it this time.
All right.
I can play games again. I'm so happy. Yay. So the game I have on tap today to talk about is one from my cell phone, not even on my PC.
You just got your video card back, and now you're playing phone games.
You know, it's one of those, it's like that little small part of gaming, right? It's literally in... figuratively. So every now and then I play like 5 or 6 games every day. There's 2 or 3 that have daily challenges. I play those. I found an ad on one of them for this game and I was like, okay, let me go ahead and install it because the Samsung gaming dock thing that I have gives me a little credit for doing that, not monetarily, but just like these achievements, and I get these little eggs and the eggs hatch and they turn into these little characters.
Sucker. They got your number.
But I found this game through that process called Bowling Crew. So this is exactly what it sounds like. It is a bowling game.
Okay.
You play against other people online. You complete daily challenges. You get new bowling balls that have different abilities, power, bounce, preciseness, things of that nature. You can upgrade the bowling balls throughout the different parts of the game, of course. The game is free to play. Everything is in-app purchases. If they get any money out of you, they've gotten some Google bucks from me so far just because I wanted to do a couple of things.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But none of it is necessary so far. I could have gotten to where I'm at without doing that stuff. I just wanted to accelerate the process a little bit. The bowling games themselves, at the core of any game, the game itself has to be entertaining or you're not going to stick with it, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I've found with this bowling game that it is entertaining in that they give you different bowling alleys and not just the design of the alley. There's like one of the first ones that you play on is on the deck of a boat, and your first bowling, you're just bowling like regular 10 pins in the regular formation. Yeah. Uh-huh. But then as you go up in levels, all of a sudden the boat is tilted.
Oh.
And so you have to curve the ball or throw it from a different angle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
There's the level that's I'm on right now is in Egypt. So I'm bowling toward a pyramid and there's sand dunes along the alley and stuff.
Hmm.
It's cute little things like that that you have to navigate when you play daily activities against people. You get random selections when you play your regular bowling league. You get certain it's a lot of fun. It's free. As I said, you can play it without having to spend a bunch of money if you don't want to.
Okay.
The money does seem to give you a fair value for what you buy. So if you want to spend $1.99 and get some of their dollars or some of their gold pieces to do different things, they seem to give you good deals. And there's always coupons that you get from winning matches that give you 50% off or 30% more chips or whatever. A fun little time waster type of a game. I probably play it for 15 minutes a day, maybe 20, and it's enjoyable.
How's the mechanics of it?
Mechanics are pretty straightforward. You use your finger, drag the ball left or right. You can also go just below the ball and tilt the angle left or right. When you pull the ball back with your finger, that's what charges it up, and you flick your finger forward, and depending upon the speed that you flick your finger forward is the speed the ball releases at. Yeah. There's also a reticle that is moving left and right as you're flicking your finger forward, and where it lands when you flick your finger forward is your hook when you throw the ball.
The spin
would add to the ball, the masse. Yeah.
Yeah. I just downloaded it while you were talking. I mean, I wasn't playing it. I was listening to you, but I was looking at it and it's like 3D. It's like the environments are like ray traced 3D environments. It's not just like it's not Atari bowling, you know, three steps and throw, right?
It's a beautiful environment. Yeah. They're really pretty setups. And I've enjoyed the game. I recommend it. I'm not a big phone app gaming fan, but this is one that I've enjoyed. And so if you're one of the people who there's only a couple of games that you like on your phone and you like bowling, this might be one for you.
Okay. I tend to get addicted to almost every game you suggest on the phone. I did that, the football one for a long time.
Right,
the other ones, I'm ready for a new one. Yeah, I'm ready. So
all right.
This looks pretty cool. That's a good recommendation.
Now, that's what I've been playing. John, you have, I saw it on the list, and I know this is a game, but this is really more of a toy of a game, than anything else. But I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about it, because I know you also did a YouTube video for us on our channel.
You're right. And Mo, I'll give you the link you can put in the show notes if someone wants to look. And interestingly, in the game segment, I'm going to talk to you about a game I could not play, but everything around it, as you said, George, makes it this toy worth talking about. So while on my vacation, I found this at a used game store. Now, you'll remember months ago, we did a backtrack all about old tabletop arcade machines. I review lots of modern ones, but the different handheld gadgets and the different stuff.
Coleco,
specifically, this is one of the Coleco tabletop arcade machines. Remember, there was Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Frogger and all those, right? The ones that look like a little squished cabinet, right? So I have a Donkey Kong that works. I'm very proud of it, but it's very rough. I mean, this thing is almost 40 years old at this point. They came out like in 82, 83. They've been around. And I'm always on the lookout for them if they're around. And I was at this game store, and up on the top shelf, like where they show these aren't for sale, it's just props, right? There was what looked to be a pristine Ms. Pac-Man Coleco cabinet from 81 or 82 when that came out.
Nice.
So I'm buying a bunch of other stuff. And I said to the guy, he's like, can I help with anything else? And I said, tell me about that thing up on the shelf. And he's like, oh, I don't know if it works. I'm not sure. Let's take it down. It was coated in dust. Oh, I mean, man, like you could run your finger along it and you could see a very clear line where I had removed this caked on dust from it. But underneath that dust, this thing looked like it almost looked like it had been restored and the decals replaced. They looked so clean. It wasn't like sun damaged. It wasn't washed out. Nothing was peeling. Nothing was cracking. Okay. So I ended up getting it, not knowing if it worked or not, for $20 in this great condition.
That's because you left the dust on it. You didn't clean it off.
Right. I didn't clean it off. Nice it right. was. Yeah. Now, what I couldn't check underneath the battery compartment because it didn't have a battery door and they had it all taped up with painter's tape and this piece of cardboard. So I'm like, look, even if it doesn't work for $20, it's in such gorgeous shape. I had to give it a shot just because, I mean, hey, first, it might work. You might get lucky. And secondly, it looks so good. It's a great on the shelf, even if you don't play it. So I got it home. I did a short video of in real time cleaning it up. There was gunk on it. Got that battery box off. There had been corrosion, clearly. Put batteries in it. It did not start up right away. I'm sure it's because there's old corrosion on there and it's not making good contact. And even though it didn't work, I was able to 3D print with our Creality printer a brand new battery cover. I found a model for the Coleco arcade machine battery cover. Fits great. Slid right in there. I'm going to try to make it work again, but to be able to rescue it from what effectively was a prop on a store shelf that nobody looked at or appreciated to now cleaned up, got a new battery door, and I'm going to try to get it to work. I think I have a good chance. I'm going to start working on it, get the voltmeter out and find out where it's not getting juice and that kind of thing. I just wish I had one of each of these because I never had one myself. It's one of those, a lot of the things we get are recollecting things we had and lost. This is from that category of stuff that I wanted badly when I was a kid and could never get.
Never have.
And now I'm getting them and I have a Ms. Pac-Man now to go with my Donkey Kong.
That's exactly why I'm running out of so much wall space in my house.
You, me, both. You and me, and floor space and table space and all those things. Yep.
Nice.
So if you want to see the condition it's in, again, Mo will put the link to the video down in the show notes. It's just a quick 5-minute video. I found out in real time when I recorded the video whether it worked or not. So you get to see the honest reaction to it. But you'll also see just how nice it looks. I'm happy to have rescued it from its probably its purgatory that it would sit forever. So
worst case, it'll look nice.
Absolutely. It looks great already. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
Kate! Most important shower of my life, and you switch deodorant soaps.
New Shield's better. It's extra strength.
But I'm trying my first case today. Now this...
Shield fights odor better, so you feel cleaner.
Clinical tests prove Shield fights odor better than the leading deodorant soap.
I do feel cleaner, and I'll win that case.
And that's the whole truth and nothing but.
New Shield fights odor better, so you'll feel cleaner.
I feel cleaner than ever before.
Before we wind this episode up, I want to take a few minutes here toward the end to talk about the things we're looking at now or looking forward to between now and the next time we get together. And George, I want to start with you. I know what you had been looking forward to. We caught up with that. What are you looking forward to now?
I am looking forward to Cobra Kai Season 4.
What? You promised you'd be doing this.
How do you look forward to that?
Because I'm going to go back and watch all 4 seasons all the way through.
Are you? It's nice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when a series has, you know, the short little potato chip type episodes and it's a limited series of 8 to 10 episodes in a whole season, why not go back and watch all 4 seasons, especially one that you enjoy a lot? that's something that I'm going to do. So this is the last call on Cobra Kai. I'm not going to bring it up in the looking forward to segment anymore.
He's so lying. Okay.
I am also looking forward to BattleBots, technically season 6, actually okay. season 11, depending upon how you look at it. Well, BattleBots, if you remember, was back on, I believe it was ABC back in the day. Okay. Then they had like a 12 or 13 year hiatus, and they crept back up on Discovery Plus and a couple of other channels. That revival is now in season 6, but technically it's kind of season 11 because all the same guys who made BattleBots back then are still mostly a part of the show now. I've watched episode 1 of this. This season looks to be crazier than the last, as they do every time. Now in the BattleBots arena, they have a raised platform section in the arena that the robots have to negotiate and deal with. The bots are bigger, badder, faster, meaner, whatever you want to say. The first episode had some epic, destructive matches that were, I mean, there were bots that were literally running around the arena for the full 3-minute time while they were on fire themselves. Not that they were sending fire out to other people, but they were literally on fire.
And that's what we tune into BattleBots for.
Yeah, it's like NASCAR, like I've said a million times. You don't watch it for people turning left 400 times. You watch it for the one time they turn right.
It seems like we're engineering our own doom. You know?
If we ever give these bots AI, you're right, we're toast. In trouble. There's no way we're going to compete with these guys. The other thing that I'm kind of looking forward to is Scream. They are putting out a new movie in the Scream horror franchise. I've seen the trailers. As I mentioned earlier, I've gone to a lot of movies in December, and the trailers have been on almost every single movie. It's a new generation of kids being terrified by Ghostface and, you know, whatever's going to happen. But they also bring back the main stars of the original one, including the Sidney Prescott character, which, you know, as long as she's in it, you're going to have a decent time. I don't think this is going to be the best film in the franchise, but I think it's going to be worth at least an A-list slot to go and watch.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they had a new one.
All right, Mo, what about you? Are you looking forward to anything? Are you going to go back and watch Cobra Kai seasons 1 through 4?
Okay, so one, Cobra Kai is definitely, I'm looking forward to watching. I have not watched it yet, so I can still look forward to it. The other thing I've really been watching and will continue to watch is the James Webb Telescope that launched. You guys hear about that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw somebody posting about that on the Discord channel. Yeah. They were saying they were putting it out in space and it was replacing some other telescope or something.
The Hubble Telescope actually is replacing. And it's on its journey to go 1,000,000 miles away from Earth and start taking pictures. And it's about by the time you hear this on the podcast, it'll be almost there. It'll be like a week till getting to that location. But man, engineering on this thing.
This telescope is already almost 1,000,000 miles away from Earth.
Well, it's right now it's about only 600,000 miles now. But but it's gonna be about a million miles away.
How did they do that stuff? They're so smart. Those guys are like rocket scientists over there.
Yeah, it's like they're smart people or something.
You think?
it's very cool. If you get a chance, go to YouTube. There's tons of great videos on it. There's animations that show you. The launch was incredible to watch. But so I'm definitely geeking out on that thing. And as far as TV shows, what I'm looking forward to is Peacemaker coming to HBO Plus, I think, on January 13th. No, HBO Max, excuse me.
Don't know what this is.
Peacemaker, that's John Cena's character from the Suicide Squad.
What? He's getting a series. Is that what you're saying?
Series.
Really?
Of course he is. It's John Cena.
And is it John Cena in it?
It's John Cena.
Really?
Yep.
Like he has anything else to do. He can't wrestle anymore, and his acting isn't the best.
So put a metal bowl on his head and call him Peacemaker.
Exactly. And apparently it's like a whole origin story. I wasn't a huge fan of his character in the movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll give it a shot. So we'll see how it goes.
But it's John Cena. Why not? Right?
I know.
Do you know if they're going to have James Gunn involved with this at all?
I don't know.
Okay. Because he's the Guardians of the Galaxy guy, and he was involved in the new Suicide Squad movie.
The new Suicide.
I hope he is, at least. He might be able to salvage it.
Yeah, we'll see. So that's what I'm looking forward to. How about you, John?
Yeah, I have just a few things. The first is something I got turned on to by MC Murr, our good friend. He had a video the other day talking about a video game called Big Rumble Boxing Creed Champions. Normally a $40 game.
Creed.
Apollo Creed?
Like Apollo Creed?
Yeah. It was on sale for $20. This is a Rocky verse arcade style boxing game.
Ooh.
You can play as Rocky, Apollo, Clubber Lang, Drago, all the people you know.
Oh, wow.
You can play as these characters. You can play their entire stories. And it's kind of a cross between like a kind of like a Fight Night, but it's much more cartoony, kind of like a Street Fighter a little bit. You have, you know, charge attacks and dodge attacks and things like that. And I've just played maybe 30 minutes of it or so. I just grabbed it because it's on sale for half price over on Steam. And it looks like a lot of fun. It's not online co-op. It's couch co-op, but with Parsec these days, that won't stop anybody. I think it's something that you might enjoy. And it's the Rockyverse, a new boxing game in that universe.
How can you go wrong?
You could play as Apollo Creed or his son, the new from the Creed movies. Yeah, all that in there. Looks really cool. The next thing I'm looking forward to is a piece of tech. I ordered a new Galaxy Tab S7 tablet. S7 Plus, in fact, the big one. They're about to come out with the S8, so they're having a bunch of sales on the S7s. This is like a 12-inch Samsung tablet. Man, I got it for, they had like $400 off of it, and my other one had some battery problems, and I'm like, yeah, I'll just buy a new one. It's coming in a week or so. And new toys like that are so much fun to transfer over and learn how the new stylus works and that. And the last big thing is a piece of media I'm looking forward to. There's a new series hitting Netflix January 14th. This is a series based on a podcast I've listened to in the past called Archive 81.
Oh, crap. I love that podcast.
I'm not familiar
with
that.
Did you?
Yes.
So the premise is, in the podcast at least, and it seems to be in the trailer of the series, is that they hire this guy to digitize and preserve some videotapes. But because they're so delicate and can't be moved, he must do it at this remote facility that the Nameless Voiceless Corporation tells him he must go do it at. And in the tapes, he's meeting people and he gets sucked into the world and some paranormal stuff and there's cults going on and he's losing his mind all because of these tapes and what he's watching. Hmm. It looks really cool. Coming to Netflix January 14th, the day after this pod drops, Jan 14th. Yeah, if you listen to the podcast, which you can listen to now for free, it's going to be more of that, but the video version. So
cool.
That's what I got. Yeah. Before we get out of this episode, I want to take a quick second, as we often do here, to just to thank some new or notable patrons. And I want to call out Aaron. You know him as Captain Kiwi over on the Discord server. If you know him or you chat with us over there, he ran into some tough times and he got laid off and lost his job. And during that time, he said, "Hey guys, I got to back out of the Patreon thing." And we're like, absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah.
Take care of your life. This guy, he is so dedicated to helping us do what we do. Once he got back on his feet, he jumped right back in at the top tier $25 per month level.
That's awesome.
I feel guilty that I know he had tough times and he felt obligated. Like, take care of you. But he definitely wanted to get back on the bandwagon and support what we do. Aaron, thank you so much. I'm glad you got things cooking again in your life and you're able to support us again. We're so grateful for you and, of course, your support, and everybody who supports us over on YouTube and on Patreon. It means so much to us. So that is going to wrap it up for episode 115. Of course, we're going to have another one in 2 weeks, but next week is our backtrack. We pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. But of course, next week is our backtrack. We pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep.
You knew, of course, next week. This.
Oh, yeah, I had to.
I got you, babe.
In celebration of Groundhog Day, we're going to take a look at Groundhog Day, the Bill Murray film.
Awesome.
Groundhog Day, the movie.
The movie, the book, the towel. Right? So this is a Bill Murray film that is often imitated, often referenced, often talked about in terms of being a Gen X touchstone film. So we're going to run down the history and legacy of Groundhog Day. That's coming your way on the next Backtrack. You won't want to miss that one. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, it's you, though, we all appreciate most of all. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody. No life, no fun.
Don't you know that you're a grown-up? Gen X Grown-Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more watching shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up Podcast listener, to this back. It's not a backtrack. Shit. We're just talking about the backtrack. One more time. In five.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.